This episode of Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you by Spaces, the new chat-based app for queer people to connect about things they are most passionate about. Join a space and chat about your favorite topics, or create a space of your own, invite friends, and find community about pretty much anything, all in a safe, LGBT-friendly environment powered by Hornet. Look for Spaces in the App Store now and join the official Hookup Horror Stories chat. Check the link in our bio to find out more. Thanks. Hookup Horror Stories is brought to you today by Good Pods, the world's fastest growing podcast social networking app. What's the best way to discover a new podcast? Through your friends, of course. With Good Pods, you can do exactly that. Join specific groups and find out what other people are listening to right now. Everything from true crime to comedy, self-help and spirituality, and yes, even this show. Download Good Pods today and start sharing your faves with other podcast addicts everywhere. See you there. Before I start today's episode, I'd like to take a moment to address the June 24th, 2022 Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the right to a safe and legal abortion. Everyone should have the freedom to decide what's best for themselves and their families, including when it comes to terminating a pregnancy. This decision has dire consequences when it comes to health and safety and could have harsh repercussions for other landmark decisions. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortions, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. Learn more at choice.crd.co, and if you are able, please consider donating to abortion funds. Check the show notes for a list of those. Thank you to Ariel Nisenblatt, the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective, for starting this movement of podcasters making this announcement at the top of their podcast as well. Speak up, take care, and spread the word. Stay deviant. But the slide in that pussy is a homicide. It's a homicide. But the slide in that pussy is a homicide. Welcome to Hookup Horror Stories, the podcast where we spill the tea on sex and dating. I'm your host, Demi Wilde, and today I don't have a special guest deviant because today I am just doing a little special episode because some crazy shit happened. Some crazy shit continues to happen all over the world, all over the globe, all over the U.S., and I've been a part of it. I've been affected personally by it.
How many of you have ever felt personally victimized by Regina George?
So this is a very special episode. I wasn't going to do an episode in between seasons, but here I am. I got to talk about it. We're going to talk about monkeypox. So before we get started, just be sure to subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. I do read those things as well. And that'll just really help us out in the long run. So if you like this show, do that. Before I get into my story, I wanted to get a little bit of information out there as to what monkeypox is, how it's affecting us, and especially those of us that are in the LGBTQ community. As of this airing, there are over 15,900 cases in the U.S. and 44,500 cases globally of monkeypox, according to the CDC website. It is considered to be another pandemic, so we are in another COVID situation. However, this one is a little bit different. At this time, data suggests that gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men make up the majority of cases in the current monkeypox outbreak. However, anyone, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, who has been close personal contact with someone who has monkeypox is at risk. So anyone who has been in close contact with someone who has monkeypox, who has lesions, you're all at risk. I had a friend of mine talk to me the other day about what happened to him. He works at a gym. He and all of his coworkers like hug each other at work. And all of his coworkers apparently all got monkeypox. So it's affecting everybody. However, gay men who have a lot of sex, who hug a lot, who go out a lot, go to clubs, we're all the ones that are like touching and fondling each other. It's a hot mess. So don't touch people. Monkeypox is not considered a sexually transmitted disease, but it is transmitted from direct skin-to-skin contact with a person who is infected. So it's not an STD. You can get it from having sex with people, but only because of being skin-to-skin contact with people who have lesions. And sometimes people might not even know that they have lesions. So just be really, really careful. Majority of infections who have occurred in major cities such as New York State, California, Florida, and Texas, with other clusters popping up in Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Washington State, among others. So it is becoming a little bit more widespread as of recent days. It's all over the place. You know, it's obviously affecting the big cities first because we're in a lot more close contact with other people. They're popping up all over the place. Little clusters of infections are popping up all over the place. You can actually see right here, I still have one little scab left on my face. I had them right here. I had them right here. I had two right here. I had one pop up on the ear, like right there. I had two on the scalp. One right here. I had two on my leg. So, I mean, I had none of my genitals, thank God. But they're all over the place, you know. They're just, it's happening. It's happening. We're all getting it. Just be careful. Get your vaccinations.
Monkeypox. Which are the communities that are more at risk and why? And what can we do to address the stigma and support these communities more? Hello and welcome to Science in 5. I'm Vismita Gupta-Smith. We are talking to Andy Seal today. Welcome, Andy. Let's start, Andy, with this new outbreak. It seems that certain communities are more affected than others. Which are these communities?
So, we're seeing nearly 70 countries affected by this outbreak. In previously affected countries, which are largely in West Africa, we're seeing communities of diverse backgrounds and ages. And in newly affected countries, we're seeing cases that are largely focused on men. And when we look at those cases, we're noticing that actually it's men who have sex with men, so men who identify as gay, bisexual, or who have sex with other men, who have perhaps reported through sexual health clinics or as part of efforts to reach cases through contact tracing. There have been some cases reported in women and children, but these have been very limited. And so we have to respond to the data. We have to really look at targeting our resources where we know the infections are happening. And at the moment, it's really happening within this particular group. But remember, anyone can get infected if they're in contact with the virus. And so for the moment, while we're concentrating our efforts on gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, we are also keeping a strong eye on the data to see whether the outbreak will evolve into other communities.
Andy, speak to us about why this particular community seems to be affected.
There are multiple modes of transmission for monkeypox, including skin-to-skin contact, kissing, or touching infected materials like bed linen. What we know and what the evidence tells us is that sexual networks within communities of gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men have played a role in transmitting the virus in the context of this outbreak. So some gay and bisexual men are connected to these dynamic sexual networks that connect cities and countries. And in the early days of the outbreak, international travel seemed to play a significant role in further amplification of this outbreak. This community is active in managing its health. We know that many gay men actively seek sexual health services. For example, many of them will take HIV medications as pre-exposure prophylaxis to prevent HIV infection. And of course, some men are also HIV positive. So these men are in constant contact with health services. And through that regular contact and access to services gives them the opportunity to check up on any symptoms or any health issues they might be concerned about. So this has probably also played a role in the identification of cases within this community.
Andy, speak to us about stigma and the damage that it can do, and also about how we can all support these communities.
Well, stigma essentially stops people from accessing services. It helps no one. So we need to really be robust in addressing and identifying stigma and discrimination when we understand that it's happening. And the best way to do that is working closely with these communities. Communities of gay, bisexual men and other men who have sex with men are providing tremendous leadership in the context of this outbreak. We're seeing great advocacy around access to testing, access to vaccines, and in the promotion of prevention messages to stop the further spread of monkeypox. This is the kind of work that really helps contain outbreaks like this one. And we need to further work with these communities, support them with their own fundraising so that this work is properly resourced, and continue to make sure they're at the table when decisions are taken, not only about fighting stigma, but around access issues as well, including vaccine access and testing. Having monkeypox can be distressing, and people need support. We mustn't blame or stigmatize anybody for either being exposed to monkeypox, perhaps they've been identified through contact tracing, or indeed for having the virus itself. We need to provide support to people who are in this situation. Hopefully for most, it'll be a short-lived, mild infection, but we know for some people it can be very painful and they may require hospital care. There are practical things that we can do, not only to fight the stigma, but also to offer practical support, including with shopping, if they're isolating, for example, and offering people a friendly shoulder if they need to talk about their experiences. There's a lot of misinformation about monkeypox, much of it fueled by homophobia and racism. We have to challenge this. We must work more closely with the communities affected, really inspired by their leadership, their advocacy around access to testing, to vaccines, and to services in general, and really strengthen those links between public health agencies and communities of gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men. Fighting stigma and getting this response right come hand in hand, and it's through partnership with communities that's the way to go.
So now let's talk about symptoms. The most fun part about monkeypox is the great symptoms that come along with it. I'm totally kidding. It's horrendous and painful. Don't get it. Some people get a rash first, then they get flu-like symptoms, or vice versa. Some people get the flu-like symptoms first. I got the flu-like symptoms first. Other people just get a rash, which is like the little pimple blister things that pop up all over the place. That's considered the rash. Other symptoms of onset is exhaustion, headache, muscle aches. You can get fever, chills, general malaise, tired feeling. Some people get a respiratory infection. It feels like a respiratory infection. It comes with a cough, nasal congestion, or a sore throat. Then you can get a rash, swollen lymph nodes, or itching at the location of where the blisters are. Abdominal cramps, proctitis, bleeding, and pus. Yes, apparently it lives in the rectal area. So a lot of people, even if you're not infected in that area, you can get really, really sick from your booty hole. Okay. It's not fun. It's very painful. I'll tell you exactly what happened to me.
They got me, gal.
So I started feeling kind of sick like a couple weeks ago at work. I felt like kind of tired. I felt just kind of like, ooh, I just feel like just kind of nasty feeling. I was fine. I just kind of like pushed my way through it. Then I started getting headaches and I was like, I'm really, really tired. I'm getting these headaches and stuff. I don't feel good. I had a day off. So I'm just like, I'm just going to rest. That day I started getting like pain in my rectal area and I started having a fever. So that's when I started getting really concerned that something ain't right. And so I was like, okay, like I really don't feel good. I don't really want to go to a hospital, but I ended up going anyways. I went to the ER. Well, I took my temperature first. I had a temperature of 101. I had headaches. I had kind of like this muscle ache thing going on. Like very like, I felt like I had a flu coming on. I felt like I was very sick. And then obviously I had the pain that was also in my rectal area. It was really uncomfortable. I didn't know what else to do. So I went to the ER. I went to Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital over here where I live. They told me that I was going to wait 9 hours before I see a doctor. So I said, fuck no, I'm not going there. I ended up going to Kaiser ER, which was just right up the street from there. And I saw a doctor probably in an hour. I learned something though. If you are going to go to the ER, do not go on a Monday. Mondays are always the busiest day. And anytime between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. is the busiest time. So if you're going to get sick, don't get sick during that time. Go to the ER early in the morning. Go later on. Just, it's a good rule of thumb. So anyways, I went to the ER at Kaiser. They saw me after like an hour or two. I was in a bed in an hour. It was probably another hour until I saw the doctor. So about 2 hours until I saw the doctor. I was just in pain the entire time. My headache had stopped and my fever had broken by that point. So I didn't have a fever at that point. I was not feeling great still, but I still was obviously sick. Doctor came in, he examined me, told me, well, it seems like you probably just have proctitis, which is like inflammation of the rectal area. We gave me antibiotics for it and sent me on my way. Antibiotics they probably helped a little bit just with the swelling and just like with what was going on with my body at that point. But after a couple of days, I was still in pain and I've started getting these little like pimple like blisters on my body. And I was like, oh shit, there's something wrong. At that point they had popped up. They were like itchy and painful. They really, really hurt. It was just, and I also had swollen lymph nodes like in my groin area. So that obviously had started like with the proctitis and stuff. I had like lymph nodes swollen. I started having diarrhea at that point. So it was like, I was in a lot of pain down there and also like shitting my guts out. It sucked really bad. I didn't have any like nasal congestion or sore throat, but I did have that night that I had the fever. I had like, I felt heavy in the chest and I felt like I had a little bit of a cough, but that went away after like a day or two, which was another weird thing. You know, you can kind of like get like this respiratory thing going on with it as well. Very strange. And then I just had like all this like pain, abdominal cramps. Obviously the blisters were really hurting. My whole body was just like, blah. So I went to go, a friend of mine suggested I go see another doctor and I go get tested for monkeypox. Cause obviously these things that started popping up, there was something wrong. So I went to a place called Carbon Health that they do a lot of like COVID testing. They do a lot of like monkeypox testing. They're kind of like little pop-up things around here in LA. They're really nice. They're really like high-end kind of like health places. So I highly suggest going to them. They're really great and you can contact them. You talk with them directly with your app on the phone. It's really great. So Carbon Health, they were testing me for monkeypox. If you're in the LA area and you need to get tested, go to Carbon Health. They'll take whatever insurance you have. And also I think they'll do cash too. And it's fairly cheap if you pay cash. So I had, obviously these lesions, they went and they kind of took swabs of these lesions. And then on Monday after the fact that, so this has been a week at this point that I've been sick. On Monday, I had gotten the results back. Ding, ding, ding. Positive, you have monkeypox. Don't go anywhere, stay inside and wash all your laundry. So it's like, okay, cool, wonderful. At this point, I still had kind of like the lesions, but they started like crusting over. I had to wait until Friday of this week. So yesterday, I finally saw my doctor. And at this point, my pain has subsided. I actually think I was out of pain by that Monday or so. I was still kind of like shedding blood, which was a wonderful, wonderful little side effect of all this. You can shit blood. And I had that going on for a couple of days. It was not fun, but the pain, other than those moments of the the blood shedding, that was painful. But other than that, the pain had mostly subsided by that Monday that I got the results. So I was mostly fine up through the rest of the week. I just was kind of like staying at home, not doing anything. I did go to the beach, but I was still like isolated. I was like, if I'm going to be stuck at home, I need to be outdoors. So I'm just like, I'm just going to go to the beach. I took the subway, took my dog. It was a wonderful time. I just didn't touch anybody or, you know, obviously all that stuff. I finally saw my doctor on this Friday. Obviously this is the worst part about it, is that I can't work. I've been off of work since I got the results, from Carbon. I've been off work for like a week and a half at this point. The doctor saw me yesterday and said that I still have to be off for another 3 weeks. And I'm like, what? Like, they're mostly like scabbed over. Most of them have fallen off. I think I probably have like 3 scabs left total, but they're still telling me that I have to be off for another 3 weeks. I only have 2 weeks of PTO. So this is like the craziest part of this thing, is that you can be off of work for a month, they say. It's wild. It's crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm filing for disability at this point because I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I can't work and I'm off the schedule at my job. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. It's frustrating to have to deal with this, but obviously file for disability. My mom's just suggested this to me. If you can't work, file for disability. And my doctor said, until further notice. She didn't even give me like a specific day. My next doctor's appointment isn't until the 19th, and that's when I can get the okay to go back to work. It's wild. So all that being said, it's very stressful to have this disease. I potentially could have gotten it through sexual contact with someone. However, the last person that I had sex with, he said he's fine and he is getting vaccinated now. So like he didn't have any symptoms. He doesn't have any symptoms. He's fine. So I don't know where I could have got it. I got it potentially somewhere. But again, this just affects people in a multitude of ways. And there shouldn't be any shame or stigma around it, obviously. It does affect gay men a lot, just because we are in such close contact with each other. We go out a lot. We do have a lot of sex. So just be careful when you're out there. Wash your hands regularly. Avoid contact with others whenever you can. No sex parties. Don't do that. I don't really do that. But if you are part of that community, maybe lay off for a little while. It has been known to little outbreaks have been happening at certain like leather events, you know, Folsom, which I love Folsom. That's coming up here. And just be really careful. Like, just, you know, perhaps think twice about going out. Think twice about going to those parties. And I would maybe even say, like, don't hug your friends as much. You know, just be careful. Just be very, very careful with where you're putting your skin. Other than that, I'm feeling fine now. I'm, like, totally healthy, apart from, like, the few, like, little scabs that are still kind of, like, lingering at this point. I'm still continuing to isolate. I'm required to. It's a really painful and frustrating disease. It's another thing that we gotta just kind of deal with going forward. And I hope you guys are staying safe. And I hope you guys got a little bit of information from this show. Forgot to mention, if you want a little bit more information on monkeypox, please check out the CDC website. I will put those links in the description down below. For all the links that I've used for this episode, obviously, check us out. I'll put all those links down there as well. Just stay informed, stay safe, and stay deviant. Be sure to check out the episode description for our guest social media links for more information on this show, or to read my blogs of Kapoor Stories and A Deviant's Guide to Sex. Or if you're interested in receiving a personal tarot reading from me, visit DimitriWild.com. Stay deviant.
Remember, subscribing might not be worth it, but it's also not optional.